Up to doing today's tefillah. Thursday we learned about davening, tefillah, prayer, and we're up to the bracha, the seventh bracha in the Shemona Esrei, Re'eino V'Anyeinu. Okay, so let's talk some basic things first. Let me go through the bracha. Re'eino V'Anyeinu. May you Hashem, may you see V'Anyeinu, our poverty. The word ani, the word vanyena means poverty. V'riva rivenu, may you fight our cause. Riva means to rise up. It's a hard word to translate. I don't really look into it. Riva.
Yeah, but we skip the Gra'a
and Sua. No, that's what we're doing. Re'ena, Gula. That's what we're doing. When we skip Slicha, we did last week Slicha.
Oh, we did Slicha, yeah.
We did Avinu Malkeinu. Last week we spoke about Slachon,
yeah,
or Avinu Malkeinu.
I was thinking Re'ena.
No, that's right. That's what we're going to get to next. That's next week. This week we're doing today, this week, the seventh bracha. The seventh bracha is Geula. So Re'ei means to see no v'anyenu. May you see Hashem v'anyenu in our poverty. The word v'anyenu really means ani. Okay, we'll come to that in a moment, what that word really means. V'riva rivenu. Riva means to... I don't really have a good translation. You have a translation there, Blazer? You have an article translation for the word v'riva? V'riva means to take up our cause. Okay, the basic translation is V'riva is to take up our cause and fight on our behalf, or not really fight, but to seek justice. We really need a better translation for the word V'riva, Rivenu, or Riv. The word Riv means a quarrel. Reish Yud Beis, Riv. We take the word Riv and we play with it. And V'riva means you, Hashem, should quarrel, should fight our fight. And Riv means a quarrel, a dispute. V'riva, you, Hashem, should take up our dispute, our quarrel, our trouble, our difficulty, and you should fight for us. What did it say in the Siddur?
The Siddur says, behold our affliction, take up our grievances and redeem us.
Take up our grievances. So a riv, he's translating as a grievance. That's really a chiddush to say that. I'm surprised the article says that, a grievance. A riv, it's more than a grievance, because a grievance, at least my limited vocabulary, has a connotation that it's quiet. You have a complaint, but you pretty much keep it to yourself. A grievance. Grievance,
yeah,
means
it has a reference to 119, the psalm.
Tehillim, yes. Okay, so a grievance, I don't know, I have to take an English dictionary and see how they translate, but a grievance, at least my limited vocabulary, means you have a complaint, but you don't go protest. You don't march, you don't take up arms. You don't become a violent protester with the word grievance. A grievance has a connotation, I think, in English, as you have a complaint and more or less you keep it to yourself. Riv, a quarrel, has more of a connotation. You're more out in the open. You protest. You fight. You take up your cause. You go out to the enemy and you engage. You go to the person who has caused you pain, and you engage in battle. You express yourself. That's the way I understand it in my limited knowledge of Riv. And here we say to Hashem, we don't want to do this, because if we're going to go out into the streets and protest, they're going to kill us. They're going to go and who knows what they're going to do to us. You know, so better, Hashem, we'll stay at home, and you take care of it for us. You, Hashem, you fight our battle. You take up our dispute, our cause, our quarrel, our frustration. And what's very interesting over here is that we're taking the word riv and we're manipulating it, and we're really making up a word, viriva. We're taking the word riv, is the quarrel. You, Hashem, you should go and view our quarrel as your quarrel, and take up our course. But let's go further. Ugo Olein and redeem us. Don't just fight, win. You can fight. Many times in life you fight, but you don't win. And there's a lot of value in that. in fighting, because it sets the tone. No one's gonna mess with you in the future. So that's not enough. There's a lot of people, you know, many times I hear someone, the police, they always say that if you've been the victim of a crime, report it. The politicians, the rabbanim, they say, if you've been the victim of a crime, make sure people know about it. Why? What's it going to help? No, there's no way in the world you'll catch the criminal. The police are not going to go invest their resource to go investigate. Okay, but they should know about it. Because the fact that there is a complaint, it changes the picture. The statistics are different. When it comes time for budgeting, they will allocate more funds. They will know there's a problem. So very, very often, people fight, and there's nothing to win. Nothing's going to happen. But it's important to let people know that a crime was committed, and we're aware of that. It has an advantage for the future and other advantages. In this tefillah, we're saying to Hashem, that's not enough. Beriva rivenu, take up our cause, fight. That in and of itself is valuable. But then we go further, ugi oleinu, win. Win the battle. Okay, it's not enough just pick up the fight. We want you, Hashem, to win the battle and save us. Now here comes a very powerful mehera l'man shemecha. Swiftly, for the sake of your name, we're going to come back to the emotional use of the words, and we'll come back to all this. Ki goel chazakata, because you, Hashem, are a goel who is strong. What's the combination of goel chazak? We'll see in one moment. Baruch atah Hashem goel Yisrael. Okay, then, by the way, after we say this bracha on a tainis tzibur, the shliach tzibur, right after he says bracha of reina v'aneinu, he says aneinu, because aneinu is part of the theme. Aneinu Hashem, aneinu ki biyo mitzorim ta'aniseinu. Okay, we won't spend time on this. Ki mitzorim la'nochnu, al tefen al mishir, v'al ta'as l'pinachem mimenu, v'al tesal l'pinachem niseinu, sh'heim ha'kodosh ha'oseinu, hino ha'chasal l'nachameinu, the end of the bracha was important. In times of tzara, so obviously the bracha of aneinu was very much related to the bracha of reinu v'aneinu v'riva riveinu u'yoleinu. Okay, so now what exactly is going on here in this bracha? So there are many interesting things. First of all, almost all the mafarshim tell us that this bracha of Goel Yisrael is not referring to the Geula Shalema. We're not davening here. The Mishnah Berurah says explicitly that this bracha has really nothing to do, I shouldn't say nothing, but it's not focusing on Mashiach, the Geula. Every rabbi he ends off the drasha, Shavzecha, to see the Geula, B'mehera V'yameinu, Amen Tzela. That's not what this bracha is. You know, after all, the rabbi only says Shuzuch to the Gula at the end of the drasha, then you know the drasha is over. But here it's the middle of Shemona Esrei, only up to the seventh bracha. So this bracha is nothing to do with the Geula Shalema, the Melech HaMashiach Eliyahu HaNavi. That's not what this bracha is about. No way. This bracha is about a personal struggle. Every single person in this world came to this world to struggle. He came here for a purpose. There's a struggle, there's a battle. Life is a constant battle. No one is spared from a battle. And in our battle, we suffer. We don't have the resources, the strength, the will to survive. And what do? We need Hashem to help us. The bracha, the seventh bracha, is all about a personal struggle, a personal feeling of despair, of persecution, of suffering in many, many, many dimensions which we need to overcome. Okay, so again, this is a personal matter. Now, why then is it? Okay, let's leave it with that. Now let's go to another idea. This bracha, okay, this is a very interesting thing I think, which I never really focused on for a very long time until I started preparing this, and now, you know, really. So a really interesting wake-up call. This is a topic, a very sensitive topic, which people always talk about, and they ask, and they darshan, this and that, and there's a million different things to say, and that is, why is it that in the Nusach HaTefillah, nowhere do we find an explicit demand, or request from Hashem for Shidduchim and for children? Many people, that's all they're davening for. Grandparents, all the thing about the whole day is Shidduchim for this one, that one. People, it's all they do. The whole tefillah is all about davening for Shidduchim. And Rachmana Litzlan, a person who is struggling to have children, okay, that's what they daven for children. Where in the Nusach HaTefillah that was formulated by Chazal to daven for children for Shidduchim? So we spoke about this many times, and I told you that we really do, not in the Shemona Esrei, but in the Bris Mila. Kesheim Shnichnas Lebris. Can you connect the Torah or the Chuppah or the Masim Tovim? Okay, so like Bris Mila, be very careful. Go to Bris Mila. It's a really one of a kind opportunity where the Tzibur together is Mispalel the Chuppah. Okay, you Mispalel that the child that's born should get married. People will go to Uman, they'll go to Meron, they'll go. They'll do all these crazy, crazy, wild, bizarre things. School is this. Well, for what? For Shidduchim, for their children? Why don't you just go to the next Bris Mila? Next time someone invites you to the Bris Mila, go to the Bris Mila. And they say, Kashem, I'm spal bad chaveroi. Who tzorich lo isa davar, who nenetchila? Someone that you know is making, has a grandchild. And you go to the Bris. And you must follow with sincerity that this child, when he'll get older, he shouldn't have to struggle. He shouldn't have to suffer the frustration of what's involved in Shidduchim. Make one wrong move and you're dead.
How does that resolve your concern? Aren't you coming as a guest to Bris Mila, and the words Kishem Shenichas refer to the child.
Who are you praying for? You're praying for your friends, you're praying for someone else's child. You also have a child. You also have grandchildren. You go to a Bris Mila, you have a friend that is maybe a Bris for his grandchild. Very often you see this, the grandparents, they invite people, you come, and the baby, they do the Bris Mila, and the people are just sitting around and schmoozing away and totally ignoring the ceremony, especially at the end, and then they say, and it's over. Here's an opportunity for everyone together, to Chazal instituted this nusach, Kishem Shnichnas Lebris, you pray for the grandchild of your friend, or for the child of your friend, Kishem, or the good child of whoever's making the bris. You mamashim astal, it's a powerful tefillah. And you know, the rule in prayer, you can't hold Hashem hostage. You can't hold Hashem, you can't go to Hashem and say, Hashem, I want results now, right now. Got a problem? I want results now. You gotta give Hashem time. The more time you give Hashem, the more Hashem can help you. You can't make unreasonable demands on Hashem. I got a problem. I need a job. I need a job now. My dream job. You give Hashem 20 years, everything can fit into place. Everything will work out. Here you have, you're giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu 20 years to help out, that this kid should grow up in the right environment, where he'll meet the right person, and it'll go 1, 2, 3, and there shouldn't be a struggle. Because people who make one, they make one mistake, you know how it goes. It's not the only place where you see Nusach HaTefillah, you misspell for Shidduchim for someone. Bris Mila. So the truth is, so the question is, if a person has his own grandchildren need shidduchim, and you mispal for someone else's grandchild need shidduchim, hamispal will be ad chaveroi. For who he has in his family children, for who tzarich lo isa davar, who lenetchila. Okay, it's a very powerful thing. Unfortunately, but people just totally.
Where is your lashon? Where is your? I don't understand. Something is lost in the connection here. I don't understand it. I'm saying Kishem Shnichas, blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine, the verse came out. That refers to, I'm coming, I need a shidduch for my daughter, or other people. Where am I expressing that
You're not expressing it openly. You're praying. You are directly making a prayer that this child should get married.
And what is it? That child's fine. That's our child. Zagazon, that's our child. What does that do for me?
Because Chazal say, Hamispalal ba'ad chaveroi, if you pray for your friend.
So why can't you do that at home? Lamarshal, my neighbor has a 20-year-old daughter.
So do it, Gesund, hey, that's the question.
Why
so
that
you
make,
should.
Why does that make the tefillah at the bris more powerful or more?
Because it's the only place. It's the only place where Chazal actually put the words in our mouth. Most people, when they daven the entire Shemona Esrei, when they come to the brach of Teka B'Shoifer Gadol L'Chayruseinu, you know what they're thinking? They're thinking about Shaduchim. How do the words blow in the Shoifer L'Chayruseinu have anything to do about Shaduchim? I don't know, but somehow they fit it in there. Somehow, when they come to the Bechavadu, Shalayim Ircha Barachamim Toshuv. I don't know, where does it say Shaduchim there? I don't know, but somehow, in their minds, they put in Shaduchim into every single part
okay.
of the Tefillah.
But I've gone to, I'm sure you have, Rabbi Levine, we've gone to weddings, and on all the seats, especially in the women's section, we see these little pamphlets.
Only the women's section, only. I steal one. When I go in, I steal one for myself.
So, my pshat is, let's say I take that home, and every day I'm saying that prayer for...
Very nice, beautiful, halavai. I just said that people, when they daven Shemona, it's better than that. When the people daven Shemona Esrei, they're thinking about these things. But what I'm saying is, a tefillah that was formulated explicitly for this purpose, at an event, it must be, it's very significant. You can sit the whole day in your house and say Tehillim. It's wonderful, it's beautiful. 100% and it certainly works. But we have to acknowledge that if Chazal established, when you go to a bris milah or a pidyon haben, or when you name a person, a girl, you name a girl, they put the words in your mouth. There is no tefillah in part of Shemona Esrei, there is nothing in the entire Nusach HaTefillah where they put the words in the mouth of every single person to explicitly ask Hashem that someone should find a zivukova. No,
it's not talmud. It's not continuous.
Exactly. It's not. Exactly. It's a rare opportunity.
But it's a intermittent at most opportunity.
Correct. That's 100%. But that's all we got. Why did Chazal make it that way? I don't know. But that's all we got. You're right. Now, I'm not saying, I'm trying to tell you there's more to it, but that was a side point. It's a side point. Don't say that Chazal were not aware that people want to pray for this matter. Because they did formulate words that they put the words in our mouth. G'shem sh'nichnas l'bris k'nikonis l'toyra u'l'chupa u'l'masim t'ovim. And when you name a child, you say to God Leo, l'toyra u'l'chupa u'l'maisim tovim. The Chazal did put the words in our mouth. So Chazal were very much aware of this. Don't say, oh, this is not something you daven for, because if they did put the words in their mouth in very rare, intermittent occasions, they knew about it very well. So now the question is your question. Why don't we say it every single day? Why don't we say pray for this every single day? I don't have an answer. But many commentators, they search very, very hard to find at least a remez, to uncover somewhere in the Nusach HaTefillah where we do daven for these things. And one of the on the list, the short list of places where they have uncovered a Nusach which they feel really, really addresses this question, this issue, is this particular bracha. You're not going to find a farshan telling you that when you say the bracha, v'lamalshinim al tehi sikva v'chol hamidin kerege yavedu, that's a disguise to pray for Shaduchim. I don't think you're going to find that idea anywhere in any of the svarim. That's a hidden code to pray for Shaduchim. It's not likely.
Can you say, you once told us, Rabbi Levin, that the bracha v'anisu lasik v'chol eisa Hashem v'razum, bracha z'decha, that we say by mincha on Shabbos is a powerful moment for tefillah, correct?
Yes.
You want to know that?
Yes, yes,
also,
yes.
Also, ironically, say the same pasuk every day in Matayvu. If you think about in the Matayvu, so could one use that sentence as a preface or as an introduction, either mentally or whatever, to express your, either verbally or mentally, as I said, the need for Shidduch?
When you say Vanis, if you will see, it's more of, those are words, the words are very potent, but those words carry much more weight because of the timing of when we say it. It's not so much the words in that case. Shabbos Mincha, when you take out the Sefer Torah, is a very powerful moment of time. When you wake up in the morning and you say Matovu, that's not, that moment in time is not as powerful. That's not a special, potent moment. It's a very nice pasuk. It happens to be the same words, that you say when you take out the Sefer Torah Shabbos Mincha. But it's not just the words, it's also the moment. You have to seize the moment. Okay, but let's go a little bit further. This brach over here of Re'eino V'Aneinu is understood by many of the commentators to be a veiled, desperate request for two things, Shidduchim and children. Well, how do you know this? Because the word Re'eino V'Aneinu, we'll give you a few examples of how this is found and how this works, the proof to this. When Leah, what happened with Rachel and Leah? Yaakov Avinu, he saw Rachel and Leah, who do you want to marry? He wanted to marry Rachel. And he told Lavan, I want to marry Rachel. Lavan tricked Yaakov and he gave him Leah. Vayar Hashem ki sunua Leah. Leah was hated. It wasn't a good shidduch. Now I know you'll tell me, sunua, you have all these very nice perushim, but I mean, sunua, don't say that Yaakov, chas v'sholem. Yaakov Avinu, the Bechir Sheva Avos, he hated his wife, God forbid. I know we have, but the bottom line is, let's just talk very balabatish. Vayar Hashem ki sunu alei. You know what this means? It means you are a candidate for marriage counseling. No, isn't that what it means? I know you're going to tell me how dare I say that because of what Chazal. Okay, good, I'll take the heat. But it says over here, Vayar Hashem ki sunu alei. What happened? Hashem was the marriage counselor. Hashem solved the problem. Hashem gave Leah, Ruvain, Shimon, Leah, Levi. Oh, Levi. And what did she say? One at a time. That's ki kapam ki love ishi alai. It was a whole process. But vayashem ki snu Leah, vayiftach Hashem esrachamo. And she had, who did she have? She had Ruvain. Why did she name him Ruvain? So what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says, Ki roha Hashem be'onyi. Hashem saw my affliction. Re'ei no ve'onyenu. Okay, so re'ei no ve'onyenu, you'll tell me means the ge'ula shlema. Not really. You'll tell me it means your inner struggle in life. You're dealing with different issues in life. You're struggling to do teshuva. You're struggling for parnasa. You're struggling from anti-Semitism. You're struggling from persecution. You suddenly don't give you an aliyah shul. You don't get enough covet. All the different types of humiliation from poverty. But you know what it also means? It also means shalom bayis. Because that's how the words are used in the Torah. Vayar Leah, Vayar Hashem ki sunua anoichi. And the label, Ki ro Hashem be'onyi. Hashem saw my affliction. Re'ei no ve'onyeinu. We are putting ourselves in the shoes of Leah. And we're begging Hashem, Leah, can you imagine Leah? Yaakov didn't want to marry her. She was the older girl. Today in Shidduchim, you know, it's a big travesty today. The older girl, the older sister gets done before the younger sister. People go crazy about this. I don't know, you go crazy, whatever, but you hear stories like this. I just went to a vart. I went to a vart and it was a younger sister. So the person that says to me says the older sister's not so happy. Alright, whatever, you know, whatever. I guess it's very painful. Younger sister, is a younger sibling. So here you have Rachel and Leah. Leah's the older one. Yaakov comes, he sees there are two sisters, and he says, I want to marry the younger one. She didn't go. Obviously, she didn't feel very happy about this. And then what happens? love and switches them. And then after he switches, then he ends up marrying Rachel anyway, 7 days later. So now he's married to both of them. And who does he prefer? She prefers Rachel. And she suffers. She first she thought she couldn't get a shidduch, and then she got a shidduch, and the whole shidduch is no good because her husband doesn't like her. Vayar Hashem, and the pasuk says that Hashem brings it about that she is the one who has the child, not her sister, and that somehow changed the dynamics. Yaakov Avinu's frame of mind changed when she brought him a child. It changed. Things changed.
Oh, I don't know if it changed that much, Rabbi.
The pasuk says. What do you mean? The pasuk says.
I'll show you because the only woman that he referred to as his wife is Rachel. When he talked to Yosef, he referred to him as my
it's
wife.
It's not so simple. It's Apam Yilavi Ishi Eli, which had Levi Kishoma Hashem Kishoma Hashem Kisnuolehi.
That was her prayer, not his.
I don't remember where Yaakov put his. Where did Yaakov put his bed? He put his bed with his no Leah.
No, it was in Rachel's. And when Rachel died,
you're right. Correct. You're correct. But there's another passage. There's a Beferish Rashi. I forgot where this Rashi is. We once learned there's a Beferish Rashi that says that Leah was viewed as the Iker because she produced 6 Shvatim, and Yaakov acknowledged that. Look, in the Ma'aris Machpelah, who is buried in the Ma'aris Machpelah? Leah, not Rachel.
Because Rachel had a tzivoy that he had to bury on the road.
The bottom line is, who is he buried with? With Leah. Okay, we can't argue about this now. We have really no time.
Okay,
but there is an element. There is no question about it. There is no doubt about it that there is an element over here. The nusach ki roshim ki reino vonyenu is what Rachel said. Ki ro'ah Hashem be'on ye. Another example in the Haggadah, vayar es onyenu. Hashem saw our affliction. What does it say in the Haggadah? Zu perishas derech eretz. That means a separation of man and woman. Now, in that context, it meant they're married. It's just that they can't be together. But take that concept to a little bit to the extreme. It means they're not getting married. There's no one to marry. There's no one out there. There's a desert out there. There's a problem. They can't find anyone to marry. Zu Purishas, that's not the way it was supposed to be. The way it's supposed to be is man is supposed to marry a woman. And over here, Zu Purishas Derech Eretz. And what's the term? What do Chazal, where do they see that concept of Purish Derech Eretz? Vayar es onyenu. Zu Purishas Derech Eretz. And what's the word? Onyenu. What do we say in this prayer? Re'enu of onyenu. How more explicit do you want? Look, there are people out there in society who are not participating in Derech Eretz. Zu Prishas Derech Eretz. Hashem, take a look, take note that we got a problem in this society. There's a Shidduch crisis in many different dimensions. So what more do you want? Where more do you want to go and express the Bakosha for children, for Shidduchim? Rachel spoke about her Matzav. And she had a child. She saw now she had a child. Both of them are brought together in that pasuk. And in the Haggadah, where it says Zu Prishas Derech Eretz, which means both as well. Okay, so this is something which many of the commentators discuss when people ask the question: how could it be the Chazal did not go and put into the Nesach HaTevilah something so fundamental, so basic? Anyway, people are thinking about it. Anyway, most grandmothers, that's what they're davening for the entire day. So why couldn't Chazal already put this into the Nusach HaTfilah? And don't tell me because, you know, it's something very mystical. Maybe, you know, you shouldn't interfere with Hashem. Maybe it's not something you should be davening for. Maybe leave it to Hashem. You can't give me that answer because when you go to a bris milah, they put the words in your mouth. When a person has a child, they make a mishberach in shul, they say, to Gadleo, Letoru, Lechopol, myself, and people should really answer the Amen who knows how powerful that Amen can be, instead of just schmoozing away and making jokes and waiting for the child to come out and wondering what's going to be for the tikkun. It's a horror to go to a bris and see people make light of what really is important, in exchange for what color are the balloons. It's a horror. It's mamash a horror. So Chazal obviously knew, they did acknowledge. So they acknowledged, so why couldn't they put this nusach into the Shemona Esrei? Guess what they did? Where? Here, in this bracha. This bracha is not discussing Mashiach, Eliyahu HaNavi, Gog u'Magog. Forget about that. Let's talk tachlis. Re'einu v'onyenu. Vayar Hashem es onyenu. Zu perishas derech eretz. Rot Leia, Vayar Hashem ki snua anoichi. Apam yilovi ish yolai. Ki ro'o Hashem be'onyi. The same word. Mamish the word. And now what do we say? We take that word and we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are you aware what's going on in this world? Re'ei novi onyenu. This is the bracha for Shidduchim. This is serious stuff. This is the seventh bracha. No, seven, a lot, marriage is all about seven. Right, seven, the seven brachas, the shiva simei hamishte. This is the seventh bracha. This is powerful stuff. Okay, let's go to another idea. We write over here, we say over here, ugyoleinu mehera leman shemecha. Why do we add the word mehera? I told you that when it comes, you can't hold Hashem hostage. It's not a good idea to say to Hashem, now, I want it hot, and I want it now. We live in the microwave generation. I want it now, and I want it hot. That's not the way it works. You know, you go watch an episode on television, in 22 minutes, you gotta wrap it all up. Wrap up the whole thing, the whole story, from beginning to end, all the little details. It's ridiculous. We live in a world in fantasy. To go see an episode, a YouTube video, and everything is going to be wrapped up in 22 minutes. 8 minutes of commercials and 22 minutes of action. It's ridiculous. There's no such thing. Life is very slow. It takes years, takes decades. How then can we make demands from Hashem, Ugyoleinu me'ehera leman shemecha? So it would appear the only reason why we have the right to make such a statement is because Hashem said it can happen fast. Be'ito achishana. Okay, in the end of Sefer Malachi, if I'm not mistaken, end of Treyaser, it is the Haftorah for Shabbos HaGadol, and we ask Hashem for redemption. We say be'ito achishana, and what does that expression mean? Chazal Darshin, regarding the Geula Shleima, I'm not referring over here to the Geula of this Geula, but that's our template. Zocho, it will come achishena. Loi zochu beita. There are two times of when the geula will arrive. The geula, there's a predestined time. There's the ketz hayomin, achris hayomin, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has laid out in the blueprint of this world when Mashiach will come. Beita. There's a set time. And that's going to happen whether we like it or not. But if Klal Yisrael, if they get their act together, then there's a possibility built in to the blueprint of creation, is an opening, is a short path to hasten the Geula, okay? To bring things before its time, whatever all that means. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, through the Navi, the option that indeed Geula can come Mehera. We don't ask for anything else in the Shemoneh Esrei that it should come quickly. When it comes to Refuah, do we say in the Nusach HaTzvilah, V'Halei Refuah Shlema Mehera? L'chol Makor Yisainu? Mehera, yeah. Try to get an appointment. Forget about the Refuah. Just try to get an appointment for a diagnosis of what the situation is. It can take weeks or months. Mehera. There's no such thing as Mehera. When it comes to Hashem, forgive me. Slach lanu rechichanu. Mechal lanu malkeinu Mehera. Oh, you want I should forgive you right away? I'm not forgiving you right away. Let's see how you behave. It's ridiculous. There's nothing in the whole Shemona Esrei where you ask, when you make demands from Hashem Mehera. It's not a wise thing to do. And yet when it comes to Geula, we have the chutzpah to say to Hashem, that's a pretty bold statement. If it wouldn't say the word Mehera, the Nusach HaTfil, and someone would suggest that we hear the word Mehera, that person would be ridiculed and driven out of the Beis Medrash so fast, he wouldn't know where to hide. Because that's not the way he spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How then do we insert the word Mehera? The answer is because although this Nusach HaTfilah is all about our private suffering, our private problems, but it's built on a template of Geula, the Geula Shlema. Our personal struggles is just a dogma, a microcosm of the struggles of Klal Yisrael in the world, in the big picture of the purpose of this world. And since in the big picture, the ultimate, the Geula, we'll call the Geula Shalema, there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done an enormous chesed, which is mind-boggling, that he has given us the option to hasten the Geula. Such a principle, it's an incredible thing, which is not to be expected. Hashem says, if you really want, I'm willing to shorten, look what happened in Mitzrayim. We were supposed to be in Egypt for 400 years. Yadoya teida ki ger yezalech b'yaretz lechem v'avodum v'inui oysom arba meyoy shana. Inui re'eno v'onyenu. 400 years. What happened? Mehera. The Geula in Mitzrayim came Mehera. It was reduced by 190 years. It was only 210 years. And I know you have all these Lomnisha answers. It wasn't really reduced. I know all the Baruch Hashem, we've learned all these things. But let's just learn now very Balabatish. It says in the Pasuk 400. In my book, 400 is 400. Not 210. Don't confuse me with Leidas Yitzchak and with Brisbane Absarim and they worked day and night and they were tortured. It was intensified and they had Shisha Bekenes Echad. Listen, all this stuff is all very nice. It's all nice Jewish. But listen, let's just learn Pashat. It says,
how do you explain it then,
don't confuse me with the facts. It says,
how do you explain it?
Because how do you explain it? You know why? Because it says, Be'ita achishena. It's a pasuk in Malachi. Be'ita achishena. When I tell you a number, Hashem says, that's the max. That's the max. You go on the highway, it says 65. That's the max. Some people, they get tickets. Cop pulls them over and they say, sir, you're going 80 miles an hour. This is 65 mile an hour zone. And you say to the cop, I thought 65 was the minimum. You ever try that on a cop? Try to say that to him. I thought 65 is the minimum. You know, you can't go too slow. It's dangerous. You have to go at least 65. It's not going to work, right? 65 is the max. Is the max. When you know who invented that? The Ribbono Shel Olam. He said 400 years. That's the max. Va'avodim v'inu yosam, a maximum of 400 years. But if you behave yourself, good behavior in solitary confinement, there's no one to fight with, right? If you're solitary confinement, who are you going to fight with? Good behavior. You only can have good behavior in solitary confinement. So what happens? Achishena. I hasten the Geula. Klal Yisrael were good in Egypt. Leishinu es l'shonim es melbushom yashamam. So Hashem reduced it from 400 to 210 years for good behavior. This is an incredible act of kindness that we don't deserve. And this Maise Ova is similar that sets the tone for all generations. Whenever we find ourselves in the matzav of Golos, and you're looking for Geula, if we're Zoyche, we can hasten the Geula. And just like that principle applies, it applies to the klal, it applies the chiddush of the Anshei Knesset HaGadol who formulated the Nusach HaTfilah for the Yachid. It applies to the Prat, a person who is struggling in any dimension of his life. And he understands that this is a spiritual struggle. He can't find a job. He can't find a shidduch. He's having trouble with having children. He's having trouble with this, child, that. It's a struggle. But he understands that the struggle is a spiritual struggle. He's able to understand that it's he there for his neshama. Then he has a koyach that's a gift of be'ita achishena. Okay, one more idea. Out of time, but let me think. One more quick idea. This idea is a little bit off. This idea is out of the box. This idea, there's no question. There are going to be people here like Idea, Rebbe, Mr. Aaron Rappaport, who's going to thoroughly disagree with this idea. But it's good to get him excited sometimes. And that is, we say at the end of the bracha, Ki goel chazakata. What does it mean, ki goel chazak? Either you're a goel or you're not a goel. It's like, oh, I'm only half pregnant. I'm only a little pregnant. Either you're pregnant or you're not pregnant. What does it mean you're only a little pregnant? If Hashem is a goyel, you're a goyel. What do you mean you're a goyel chazak? Either you get the job done or you don't get the job done. What is the word chazak doing here? What is this over here? Poetry? What's going on over here? We're looking for precision in the Nusach HaTfilah. All right, so I know you can give me answers. You can give me some nice answers. I'll accept any answer you'll tell me. I'll accept. But I want to tell you something out of the box. What happened with Paro? What happened with Paro? Hashem says, Paro, let my people go. And Paro says no. And Hashem brings Makkah 1, Makkah 2, now Makkah 3. Get to Makkah 5. Okay, I don't have all the details worked out for you. Cross the T's, dot the I's, but basically it says there are two words. Vayechabed Hashem etzlev paro. That's one word. And there's another word. Vayechzak lev paro. Vayechazek liboy. Vayechzak libo. There are different expressions of paro, a stubborn mule. A stubborn mule. He strengthened his heart to say no. We find in the Torah, and it's out of the box. I know this is not Pashup Shat. It's not Pashup Shat. But we find in the Torah the word Vayechazek, when there's a battle, when there's a struggle, person is the person's under attack. Paro was under attack. He strengthened himself to say no. Vayechzak lev Paro. Vayechazek esli bevoloi shilach esbnei shalom yaretzo. When we say this bracha, you know what we're really doing? We are acknowledging that it's very likely Hashem will say no. Why? Because we have the chutzpah. See, it's zeh l'umah zeh. If you have the chutzpah to say to Hashem, ugyolenu mehera, hey, that's not nice. That's not nice. You don't say to Hashem now. You don't do that. You don't do it anywhere else. Anywhere in the entire Nusach HaTfilah to make demands now. I want my food now. And I want it hot. You don't do that. But here we do it. You have to compensate. And the way you compensate is you say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I want it now. Because listen, you created the opening. You're the one who created the possibility. Be'ita achishena, when it comes to gula. But then you finish off and you compensate. I'm not a mechutzef Hashem. You say, ugulein meher leman shmecha, ki goel chozokata. I acknowledge, though, I might not be deserving. And despite the fact that you're so kind and you're so gracious, but sometimes it's necessary for you, Hashem, to strengthen yourself to say no. Just like we find the word by Yechazik, by Paro, was used in as an expression of, you're not going to get what you want. Don't take advantage of me. Don't think that you're going to weaken me with oisois moivsim and makois vayechazek Hashem eslev paro or vayechazak libo v'loishilach. The word vayechazek is used in reference to strengthening yourself to say no. It's an acknowledgement. Ribbono shel Olam, we have a problem. We need help. Please, re'eino. No is a very powerful word. This is a very desperate prayer. That Rizal says you should hear the word no. Not everyone has the word no. Ashkenaz, there's no word no. Nusach's father say re'eino. There's a desperation. Re'eino v'onyeinu. V'riva riveinu. We repeat. Ugyoleinu mehera. Ooh, mehera. And then you say more desperate words. L'man shemecha. Oh, it's not about me, Hashem. It's about you. This is for your own good. There's a lot of chutzpah. This bracha is mole chutzpah. You get into a lot of trouble with chutzpah. So you know what you do at the end of the bracha? You humble yourself. You humble yourself. And you say, Ribbono shel Olam, excuse me, I'm sorry. I got a little excited. I know that I don't really deserve anything in this world. And I know that despite all of my demands and my emotions and my hysteria, ki goyel chozok, I acknowledge sometimes it's necessary that you, Hashem, strengthen yourself not to redeem me. Because the time is not yet ready. It's not yet the zman. Mr. Raffel, what do you say about that?
You said it should go perhaps the other way.
I told you wouldn't agree with me.
To strengthen himself to say yes.
Okay, that's the push-up shot. I should not have asked the question.
It's the opposite. I would have thought you're saying to Hashem, I humble myself. I need it quickly. And Hashem,
you can do it. You have the power to do it. I know. But then,
and you won't do it. I know, Hashem, you normally won't do it. But I'm asking you, strengthen yourself against your normal.
That's the push-up shot. But
say no and say yes.
Okay, I know that's the push-up shot. Absolutely. That in the art school said they wouldn't think otherwise.
Why would you ask
him
to say no?
You're not asking him to say no. I told you this is an acknowledgement. It's like a matzikal of esadin. It's not. You have to be realistic. You have to put yourself in the right. You know, when you daven, a lot of the Farshim say, when you daven to Hashem, not only are you davening to Hashem, you're talking to yourself. Part of davening is talking to yourself, to put yourself in the right frame of mind to know where you're holding your life. It's not just talking to Hashem. You got to talk to yourself. And when you talk that with such desperation, you know, calm down. Go take a cold shower. Calm down. Calm down over here. You say to Hashem desperate words, and then at the end you say, ki goyel chazokata. You know something, maybe it's not the right time now. Maybe my demands, what I really think is good for me, maybe it's not good for me. Maybe the time is not ripe. I should wait. Because I'm trying to prove you, because that's how the word chazok is used in reference to Paro. Paro didn't strengthen himself to let the people go. Paro only, the word is only used in one war fashion when it comes to Paro. He strengthened himself not to let him us go.
I know, but in other cases...
Okay, I know. I'm telling you a chiddush. I know. I'm asking. I know. The Poshup Shad, you're not going to find any sinner in the entire world from my stibidatius at Soif Kol Olam that's going to say what I just said. Put that into the translation. Because that's not the translation. Translation is not what you said. It's Dvarm Pshutim Ad Moed. But I'm trying to tell you, you know, ayin panim l'toyer. There are nuances which are meant to be understood in different ways, and I feel that this is a valid, off the beaten path approach to understand. It's not something you're going to put in a sitter. I understand that this is not the push-up shot. You have to read a push-up shot, but tefillah is something which is very deep. There are many levels. All right, it's very late. Thank you for coming and learning. A wonderful night, everyone. Be well. Zaygazot. Zaygazot. Good job. Zaygazot.
Thank you,
bro. Zaygazot.
I didn't mean to check
in. No, of course not. I love it. Gavaldik, please. It's a pleasure. It's my greatest pleasure. Please, please, please.
Okay.
Zaygazot. Zaygazot.
Oh, yeah. How you doing, Norman? You still on the curfew? I think they had an 8 p.m. curfew there.